Coming to you live from a barrel of monkeys, I'm Tom Rich, and with me as always is Dank Nasty Hair, and this is the Mildly Alarming Podcast. Episode 814, The Wolves of Wolf Hollow 2. Howling comes the Wolfnacht.
Welcome back to the Mildly Alarming Podcast. I'm Johannes Stauffer.
And I'm Tom Rich.
And this week's episode is brought to you by Counting Backward from 3. Two. Nope, that's forward.
Oh. Three.
Okay, good start.
Two.
All right, almost there.
Three again.
No.
Two. Sepulchre.
I hate you and everyone who looks like you.
Not a lot of people look like me because I'm just that handsome.
Thank God no one looks like you. That would be awful for all of those people who have to look at that person. It was hurtful on a couple levels.
It's a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be looking at them. But we're welcome to the show. We're happy to have you here.
We're welcome to the show. Also, did you realize that your hair is virtually the same color as your shirt?
That's not even a little bit true.
It's pretty close.
My shirt is yellow. My hair is orange.
His shirt is like a dark, sort of a mustard.
Why was it just, no?
It may be that you're sitting in front of a red curtain, and yeah, all of the red sunlight from the sunset is filtering through a red curtain onto your shirt.
Is this sort of how, like, my wife insists that my beard is maroon?
No, your beard is maroon.
My beard is not maroon. It's just regular red.
It's maroon.
It's not. That's not the color.
It's not. Your wife is wrong.
She also insists I've got this one shirt. She insists that it's black, but it's clearly just a very deep chocolate brown. Chocolate. Listen, I know what colors are.
I can't pick a side in this argument because you clearly don't know what colors are, but your beard's also not maroon.
It's not. It's just not. It's clearly isn't in no way on a desert island. It's on my face. See, because you said...
Yeah, nope, I'm right there with you.
And the words could mean a couple of... Right.
Stop talking.
Okay.
Or at least talk about something else.
So, welcome to the show for tonight. We're very glad to have you. We've got a very special presentation tonight of Mildly Alarming Theater. We're going to give you another night at the theater. A night of drama.
Drama, if you're Canadian.
And comedy.
Comedy, if you're Canadian.
You laugh.
They say that the same.
You'll cry. Your life will be changed forever by the prowess of the thespians upon the stage. Isn't that right, Johannes?
There's no stage, but it's pretty, it's decent. It's fine. You might not hate it. It's short at least.
it harkens back to the golden age of radio drama when, you know, the days of Sam Spade and Bart Claiborne and Wilfred
Brimley.
Owen, I was going to go with, you know, and Susquehanna Hambach. And Sammy Boonsby, and so on. All those famous actors and actresses from the golden age of radio drama when they used to do all those great radio shows back in the
golden age of radio drama.
Before,
when they did those,
yeah, before TV and Nintendo ruined everything.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Nintendo.
You know, back in the day, and before these f-ing millennials came along with their participation awards and just all over America.
Good Lord. Like, I don't disagree, but we're going to have all of, what, like 4 or 5 minutes of intro before scripted stuff, and I'm going to have to add at least 3 farm animal noises? Ridiculous.
Well, you know, you could farm animal out anything you want.
That is true.
You could farm... In fact, I'm surprised you don't just farm animal out everything that I say, so it sounds like you're talking to a...
An angry duck or something.
Just a furious chicken.
Band name.
Baka?
That was more like a confused chicken.
It kind of caught in my throat halfway out there.
Well, Tom got excited and maybe a little carried away this week and wrote not one but two mildly alarming theater sketches for you. And they have names, which Tom is going to tell you because hopefully it will make him stop trying to sing.
You're
going to
be seeing tonight on Mildly Alarming Theater, Helga is a witch.
She is.
So
it's true.
Doesn't that sound like a heck of a show? Although I feel like the author spoiled the twist a little bit in the title. Because, like, you're going to meet a character named Helga, and you're going to be like, is Helga a witch or not? But you already know.
Well, I think it's been fairly well established over 50-some-odd episodes that the author is a real dummy.
Well.
Just a moron.
Yeah, it's a good thing we'll never know who it was.
Good thing.
And the second theater, after a brief intermission, because we still have to, you know, collect enough money to put this show on. We still have to have sponsors, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
we still got our regular sponsors on for tonight. But the second episode you'll see, or the second segment you'll see, is The Unicorn.
It's about a unicorn.
It's about not just a unicorn, Johannes.
The unicorn?
The unicorn. I tell you what, my heart is palpating just thinking about how great that's going to be.
It's touching things?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It would be weirder if it wasn't.
No, not that doesn't just mean like touching like in contact with. That's like... With your hands,
really?
Like your palps.
That's what palping means.
Palpate means to like touch.
So is a if I say that something is palpable, it's touchable. That's really all that's going on there.
Exactly.
So
then
if I say a very palpable hit, that's just a touchable hit. That doesn't make any damn sense.
No.
It's gibberish. You can't palp a hit. You can palp while hitting.
In fact, I feel like you have little choice but to palp.
Well, no, because like if you're wearing a glove.
It's palpate, but sure, yeah.
If your glove, you're not palping. If you have a glove, you're not really palping. The glove is palping them and you, but you are not palping them. So you're palping the glove, I guess. So yeah, you're right. Fair enough. But then by that definition, you're always palping.
Well,
you're palping
it means
the air.
It's more like to examine or explore by touch. So like when you palpate, you're taking like someone's pulse.
So like grope or molest?
No, that's a different thing. Using those words that you just used to mean a different thing because yeah.
So you could.
Well, palp doesn't mean anything. Palpate.
But a palpable hit still doesn't make sense. Because it's like an examining hit. What does that mean? I don't like. I guess maybe a palpable hit would be one like in a you're in a an ultimate fighting match, and you throw a punch at the guy not because you want to hurt him with that punch, but just because you want to see how he reacts so you can plan your next couple of punches. Like maybe that's a palpable hit.
You know, for the guy who has a degree in creative writing, you really have a really just tenuous grasp on.
That doesn't work either because the hit itself is what's palpable. It's not like it's a palping hit. It's palpable. So really, a palpable hit would be a hit that the other guy could examine by touching it. So like it's a hit that he's able to catch and just sort of
feel and understand. Feel it?
Yeah. He can feel that. So okay, it does work. So you can have a palpable hit after all.
Good God. For those of you still listening, I'm terribly sorry. And I wish I could tell you the rest of the episode will be better, but... I can't.
No, it's going to be great because it's live. We have the mildly alarming thespians.
I think it's the furthest thing from live it could possibly be.
No, we got the thespians in the studio right now. They're up on the stage. They got
thesping.
Yeah, thespin all around. They're all Greek, and they have their microphones because that's where thespies is.
Sure.
Thespia.
I don't care.
Thespalonica.
Thespalica.
Thesbos.
It's an island.
I think it's more of a sepulcher.
You really just are a one-trick pony, aren't you?
That would imply it's trick.
And that you're a pony.
but yeah, you know, we got the Mild Army Thespian.
Who left this pony in the studio?
Nay. We got the Mild Army Thespians in the studio. They're up on stage. They're doing their vocal warm-ups. You can probably hear them in the background, all like 18 of them. I got their mics on. They're gonna put on a hell of a show for you guys tonight. They're hell of a show. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be huge.
Do you think there are dialectic differences between the way that ponies neigh and the way that horses neigh? Like if a pony neighs as a horse, like what the hell did he just say?
Well, maybe a little bit, but I think you would find larger dialectic differences between how like a horse or pony in an English-speaking country neighs versus how one neighs in France. Because, like, they found that with dogs.
Uh-huh.
Like, dogs bark differently depending on what language they're around the most.
Did they actually find that with dogs?
Yeah, totally.
Weird.
Yeah, and so, like, a dog that is French will be like, bark, bark, ha, ha, ha. And a dog that's English is like, tea and crumpets, love. And a dog that's Australian is just like, oi, Drakidax! And that's, yeah, that's how the dogs go.
That's strange.
Yeah, it's totally weird, but totally 100% true.
Do cats meow differently?
No, cats don't give a shit.
They but, like, don't care at all. They did discover that only domesticated cats meow. Like, it's not...
Right, that's true.
A previously existing, like, great cats don't meow. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything. It's cats trying to talk like people talk.
Yeah, but cats don't give a shit.
Cats are dumb.
Cats don't. They don't care at all. They want you to die. My cat tries to trip me on the daily.
Well... Your cat is an evil monster.
He is an evil little monster. It's true.
Well, I guess since this is the only time you're going to hear us talk unscripted this episode, we should probably knock out the end part now.
The bit where we tell you how to leave comments about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's face it, no one's going to do this because you never have. Why start now? But you could leave a comment on the website. Wait, that's not what we start with.
Our feelings are only a little bit hurt. Hashtag tears. Hashtag deeply sad. Hashtag hurt feelings.
Have you been spending time on Instagram? Like, that's a lot of hashtags, Mang.
Hashtag no.
I hate you a little bit.
Hashtag bruh.
Bruh. But you could leave a comment on Twitter at Mildly Alarming.
You could send us an email at mildlyalarmingshow@gmail.com.
You could leave a different sort of comment on the website in the comments section at www.mildlyalarming.com. You could also do that on www.facebook.com/mildlyalarmingshow. I say all the W's because it makes Tom a little bit upset and I can see it in his eyes. You can also listen to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn Radio, on Google Play Music, or on the website via the RSS feed.
Or you can hashtag contact us by hashtagging the hashtag mustard laser. And we'll know. We'll get it.
Will we hashtag know?
Hashtag.
Hashtag, hashtag.
Hashtag, hashtag.
There's some bank or something that had a thing, an advertising campaign that was hashtag lunchbag, except they put the hashtag and then the hashtag itself was the word hashtag and the word lunchbag.
That's not a good hashtag.
It's terrible.
Your hashtag's got to be short.
We'll be right back with Mildly Alarming Theater after this word from our sponsors. Goodbye. Jonathan, come in. Thank you for coming by on such short notice.
Oh, no problem, Byron. I figured you'd want to talk about the numbers for last week.
Yeah, well, I haven't looked at them in detail, Jonathan, but
oh,
that's
oh, great,
not...
Oh, great. Let me prime it for you then. See, some of the systems this month were just a lot more complicated than usual, so you're looking at the same total amount of analysis, just in fewer packages.
That's fine, Jonathan. We'll talk about it later.
See, because the spreadsheet doesn't take into account the analysis time per system, right? So if one week it takes an hour per system, and the next it takes three, there's no way to know that. It just looks like I analyzed fewer systems.
Jonathan, it's really
fine. I mean,
fine.
I can analyze a system with the best of them. I'm a freaking systems analyst, right? It's not like that's a goofy, meaningless job title that I just sort of have, and I'm seeing how long I can fake it before I get caught. That'd be crazy.
Jonathan.
Yeah, boss?
I called you here to talk about Helga.
What, the new lady? I barely talked to her. I think she asked me what kind of soup I was having last week.
Fine, but we've received...
It was tomato, which was pretty obvious given the color. Weird question.
Jonathan. We've received a memo from HR claiming you used a slur against Helga on April the 29th.
What? Me? A? Slur? Against? Helga? I don't even know what ethnicity she is. I don't really know slurs, come to think of it. Well, the usual ones they teach you in school, but not like modern slurs.
No, not an ethnic slur, Jonathan. A gendered slur. It says here that you called Helga the W word.
I'm sorry. I don't know the W word.
Which?
Come again?
It says here that you were talking to Clarence and that you said, quote, Helga is an actual witch, isn't she? Unquote.
But isn't she?
Good God, Jonathan.
No. I mean, isn't that the word for what she is? I mean, a cackling, wart-nosed old lady, dresses all in black, always rubbing her hands together?
You're not really helping your case here.
Has a bubbling cauldron full of an unspecified liquid in her cubicle, arrives to work on a broom, which she parks in handicapped, by the way, and I don't think she has a sticker.
Everybody has their own cubicle decorations. Carl's cube is full of model trains. The point is, we here at orgcom.net do not tolerate discrimination.
I literally saw her stuff some chubby German children in the break room microwave yesterday. Just crammed them on in there and cackled while stroking a black cap. Dude, hold on. Here, her company business card. Look, Helga, witch.
Yeah, actually, HR is working on updating that to say Hexation and Curse Specialist Intermediate. Paperwork, you know?
Really? Just intermediate?
Need 6 years experience to hit senior.
Huh. But you're telling me that her official job title is the W word, but I'm not allowed to say that.
I mean, not allowed is a little strong, but just don't, would you? She said she was going to put a curse on me if I didn't tell you off.
That's racist!
She literally said it!
Well, fine. I won't use the W word to describe the ugly old crone who threatens people with curses and whose home address is just the swamp.
Why do you know her home address?
I'm on the birthday committee. We're sending her a Sausage of the Month membership.
Very nice. Well, thank you for being an adult about all this. Now, let's talk about how many systems you've been analyzing lately.
I thought you hadn't looked at the numbers.
I lied. I'm a liar. Now, systems analysis is a very competitive field, Jonathan, and you're going to have to step up your game if you want to compete in such a crowd. And now, a message from Hrothgar's Chiropractic.
Hrothgar's might cannot be matched. Hrothgar wrestled Troll and tossed full-grown Snowhawks off of cliff. So, when Hrothgar is sent to future world where great muscle is of no use, Hrothgar is sad. But Hrothgar punched sadness in face by taking classes at community college and earning chiropractic certification. Now Hrothgar, Dr. Hrothgar, and punch puny misaligned spines into proper shape. You have subluxations? Hrothgar crushed your subluxations just as Hrothgar once crushed the skulls of sea raiders. Call now on your wizard box. Accepting most insurances.
Do-do-do. Glad to be home. I could analyze a lot more systems if Byron wasn't so chatty. Time to put on my bunny slippers, crack open a packet of pork snaplings, and watch monster truck jousting for 9 hours.
Jonathan!
Or this incredibly scary thing could happen. Hello, glowing entity in my home. Pardon the fear whiz pooling around my shoes.
Jonathan, look with your eyes and perceive that my radiance is dimmed. I am the unicorn.
Thanks for that. But if you're a unicorn, how come you have two curly horns?
Uni does not mean one in my language, Jonathan.
Right, but it doesn't mean one in unicorn either. I mean, if it did, then unicorn would mean one corn. That's not right.
Jonathan, I did not manifest in your dwelling to discuss this. Cease your prattle.
You got it, Tutacorn. Why did you, manifest here in my house?
I have a great message for you, Jonathan. You will bring justice to the land and restore what was lost. Are you prepared to receive my truths, Jonathan?
I suppose.
Jonathan, you are the living beard of the 10th scroll.
What?
The living beard, Jonathan, who the signs say will traverse the great river and spread jelly upon the rump of the world.
Wait. Jelly on a rump? Rump jelly? Hold on. There's a lot to unpack there, Curlycorn.
There is no time, Jonathan. Even as we speak, the world but unclenches, and its stink gathers in the hollows of the land. The living beard must spread the jelly upon it, so it is written, and you are the living beard.
I'll take your word for it, Tuna Horn. But how will Jelly keep a butt clenched?
The jelly was made by the bears of the forest, Jonathan. It will clench the butt, you may be certain. But come, Jonathan, we must not tarry. There are many tasks to perform before we travel to the Valley of the Tush.
Such as?
We must unlock the gate, Jonathan, and dig a great trench. It is written that the living beard will be the grand marshal in the parade, and that he will buckle the shoes of two admirals. There are 6 flagons of piss to quaff, and a sword to take from a baby's hand. There are horned dogs to wrestle, and 11,000...
Hold on, Cornicorn. Did you say I'd have to quaff 6 flagons of piss?
No.
But you did mention them. You said 6 flagons of piss to quaff.
The piss must be quaffed, Jonathan.
Who quaffs it, Dinacorn?
Well, you see...
Does the living beard quaff the piss?
Technically.
You either drink pee or you don't. There's no technically about it. Am I going to have to drink pee before I smear jelly on a butt?
Fine, yes. You have to quaff the flagons or the bees won't help you build an enormous clock. Don't get all salty with me, Jonathan. I didn't write the scrolls.
Are you sure all this is accurate, Hornicorn? It seems less like the beginning of a grand quest to save the universe and more like, I don't know, my kidneys are failing and causing vivid hallucinations?
No, Jonathan. It turns out this is all real. Your scientists and philosophers have not uncovered the secrets of the universe because the secrets are dumb.
Huh. Isn't that just what a hallucination would say, though?
For God's sake, Jonathan!
Fine, I'm the living beard. So it's drink the pee, make a clock with some bees, lead a parade, wrestle dogs, shoes, buckles, admirals, spread jelly on a huge butt. Am I missing anything?
No, that about covers it. Now, take on your true form, Jonathan, and sail with me upon the ethereal breezes to the land of grown-ups with moderate acne that they are more sensitive about than it really warrants. Don't be a dick about it. They are my friends.
Sure thing. How do I do that true form thing?
Do I look like a living beard, Jonathan?
Do I, Binacorn?
But the revelation that you are the living beard should have awakened your life spark.
Well, it didn't. You're sure you have the right guy?
Of course, Jonathan. I am the unicorn. My lineage has found living beards for untold eons and across versions of time that mortal minds cannot comprehend. Plus, I got your address from a dog.
Well, let's see it. No, this is all wrong. You're on Crothbert Avenue. You want Crothbert Street, other side of town.
Oh, geez, this is embarrassing. Does somebody named Jonathan live at this number on that street, Jonathan?
Why would I know that?
Sorry, you're right. Have a good night, Jonathan. Sorry for the whole thing.
No hard feelings, Duocorn. Good luck convincing that other guy to quaff a bunch of piss or whatever. And now, a message from Johannes, who is trapped in a huge box of bees.
Bees are stinging me many times. It is very unpleasant.
This has been a message from Johannes, who is trapped in a huge box of bees. Good evening.